This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
Hello, I'm Billy Lambert, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to watch Getting to Know Your Bible today. I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible, and today we're going to discuss the topic, the door. The door. Who is the door? Where is the door? What do we mean when we talk about Jesus is the door of salvation? And so today we want to continue to offer a free Bible correspondence course. And I would like to underscore, I'd like to put it in big, tall, red letters so you could understand it. It is free, free. Will not cost you nothing. And please call for the Bible course. We want to pause long enough that you can learn a little bit more about the course and how you can receive it.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
No storm can hide that radiant, peaceful beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise,
I want to read now from John, the 10th chapter, verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. In Jesus' day, the sheepfold was circular in shape. The walls of the sheepfold were about 6 feet high. And the opening of the sheepfold was about 6 feet in width. And there was no door to the sheepfold. The shepherd would sleep in the doorway. And the sheep could not get out because the shepherd was there. Nor could anyone get in to harm the sheep because the shepherd was there. So the door was a person, and the door was the shepherd. But Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus Christ is the door into the sheepfold. Or to put it another way, Jesus is the door of salvation. See, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Well, Jesus Christ is the door. He is the ordained door. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is referred to as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There's never been a time that Jesus Christ was not promised and purposed to be the Savior of humanity. And in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and following, Peter writes about Jesus when he said, For as much as you know, that you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, received from the vain conversation of your fathers, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot and without blemish, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was now manifest in these last days for you. Jesus was foreordained to be the Savior of the world. His death was determined by God, ordained that he would die. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 says that Jesus, by the grace of God, tasted of death for every man. There's not a person living today that Jesus did not die for. Even people that you may not even want to consider to be a friend of yours. Even a person who may be wicked and vile and evil, Jesus died for that person as well. You see, he died for all people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In John 15 and 13, Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Heaven is possible because Jesus went to the cross, and it was predicted that he would go to the cross. He was like a lamb that was slain in prediction, in promise, from the foundation of the world. But Jesus Christ is also the only door, the only door there is. Noah was told to build an ark. And when he was told to build an ark, he was told how to construct the ark. He was told the dimensions of the ark. And he was told how to seal the ark. And he also was told how many doors and how many windows there would be in that ark. And there was only one door into the ark. The tabernacle was built. And when the tabernacle was built in the Old Testament, and they followed the plan that had been given to Moses for the building of the tabernacle, there was only one door into it. And now we have the church. And Jesus Christ is the one door today for mankind. Jesus is the door that enters in to the place of safety. There is no other Savior but the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. Somebody says, "Well, you have your Savior, I have my Savior." I believe that it doesn't make any difference what you believe. You just believe something. And if you just believe something, then you're going to go to heaven when you die. Or you'll go somewhere. You say, I'm not even sure that there's a heaven, but you'll go somewhere when you die. Well, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the only way to go to heaven. Someone says, "That's awfully narrow." Truth is always narrow. Truth is always narrow. In the realm of mathematics, truth is narrow. 2 + 2 = 4. It does not equal any other number but 4. You say, "Well, I think 2 + 2 = 3 or 2 + 2 = 5. Well, the only problem with that is that's wrong. That is wrong because truth is narrow in the realm of mathematics. And when it comes to the salvation of our souls, truth might be considered to be narrow to some people. Neither is thou salvation any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. We're saved because Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the one who said in John the 14th chapter and verse 16, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The only way that you'll ever get to heaven is enter in through that door. Jesus is the only door. There is no other hope for your family. There is no other hope for the world. There is no other hope for the nation. There's no other hope for you as an individual except the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our hope. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6 says there is one hope, and that one hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the door. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." So Jesus is the only door. But Jesus also is the open door. It is open. And it's been open now for almost 2,000 years. And Jesus is inviting people to come and enter in that door. He's inviting you today to enter into that door. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." He would not invite you unless he would want you to come. He would not invite you unless you were capable of coming. You see, when God created man, he made man a volitional being. That is, we have the power to choose to obey or to disobey. We have the power to respond or not respond to the gospel of Christ. And Jesus wants us to respond and come to him. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Someone says, "Well, doesn't that mean that Christ is just inviting people in the Western Hemisphere to come?" Absolutely not. Is he inviting people to in the Western Hemisphere? Yes. But he's inviting people all over the world to come to him. The gospel and this door that Christ is open to all mankind. Peter came to the house of Cornelius, and Cornelius wanted to fall down and worship Peter. And Peter told him to stand up. He said, "I'm just a man." And this is what Peter said at the house of Cornelius. Now, Peter was a Jew. Cornelius was a Gentile. And in that day, the Jews and the Gentiles had no dealings one with the other. Now, this is what Peter said when he came to the house of Cornelius. "I perceive of a truth that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." This is an open door, and the door is to all mankind. And we are to preach Jesus to all people. We're to preach the gospel to the whole wide world. In Mark 16 and 15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And we need to be busy today carrying the message of Jesus to a lost and a dying world. According to Matthew's invitation in Matthew 28, 19, he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," or "go ye there and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So Jesus is the open door. The door is open for you today. But Jesus Christ is also the opportune door. You see, the door is open right now. It's not something you've got to wait until the end of your life. It's not something you've got to wait another minute on. It is open right today. You see, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, "Today is the day of salvation." When will we ever begin to realize we don't have forever to do right? That life is so short, that life is so brief, that we must do now what must be done for our souls. You say, "Well, I'm going to wait a while." Well, you can wait a while and be lost. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for a man doth not know what a day may bring forth." You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Tomorrow you could get an illness that would render you incapable of understanding the message of Jesus Christ. Now you can understand it. But suppose you became so incapacitated that you no longer could understand the message. Tomorrow, you could be dead. And that's going to happen to all of us sooner or later, because it's appointed unto a man once to die. And tomorrow, Jesus could come. But right now, the door is open. And whatever our hand finds to do, we need to do it with all of our might, Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes. Jesus Christ is the opportune door. You have the opportunity today, but you may not always have that opportunity. Someone said, "Well, you know, Brother Lambert, I've been watching you on television now for a long time, and I'm not a Christian. I've really thought about it, and I've considered it very, very seriously. But I just think I've got to wait a while." Why would you wait, dear brother? Why would you wait and linger and tarry? Because now is the accepted time. Call upon the Lord while he is near. Isaiah 55 and verse number 6. But Jesus is the optional door. Now, you don't have to be saved. Does Jesus want you saved? Absolutely. It's my desire, my prayer that you will be saved. But you see, no one will make you. No one will force you to give your life to Christ. Absolutely not. And so you don't have to. This is an option. You have options in life. You go to buy an automobile. You have options. You can put whatever kind you want, whatever color you want, whatever kinds of trinkets or things that you want on that car. You see, have all kinds of options. I can remember the day you had no options. One color. Most of the cars were black. And most of the cars all look just about alike. But we don't live in that kind of a world today. Options. You go to buy ice cream, and you have all kinds of options. All kinds of ice cream. The world is filled with options. And when it comes to the salvation of our soul, you can choose to obey or you can choose to disobey. But I want to tell you, to disobey the gospel is a dangerous, dangerous thing. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, this is what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now notice verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You see, when we stand before God in the final hour to give an account of our lives to him, the only thing that will matter is what did you do about Jesus Christ in your life. It's not going to matter how good-looking you were. It's not going to matter how you had built up your body through exercise and lifting weights. It's not going to matter how much money you had in the bank. It's not going to matter how many acres of land you may have owned. The only thing that's going to matter is what did you do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Did you obey that gospel? Did you obey the message about Jesus? Or did you turn it away? You see, it's optional. You don't have to obey him. You know, in the Old Testament, Joshua was telling the people that they had a choice to make, and they could choose to obey or to disobey God, in essence. He said, "Choose you this day whom will you serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." But he said, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." That's what we choose to do. I would urge you to choose to serve Jesus. And I would urge you to do it now. In John chapter 5 and verse 40, Jesus said, "And you would not come unto me that you might have life." Why are people lost in the final analysis? Well, they're not lost because God didn't love them, because God loves all people. They're not lost because the number is fixed, that there's a certain number going to be saved, and that number and no more, because God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. Men are not going to be lost because they can't understand what they need to do, because Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We can understand it. The only reason people will be lost is they make the decision to turn their back upon Jesus. He said, "You would not come unto me that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." But when we love Jesus, you really fall in love with Jesus. You want to do what Jesus says, don't you? And I have an idea there are people watching right now that really love Jesus. You believe in Jesus with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. And I would urge you to love him enough that you would enter that door. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Wonder how that would be understood if it read, "He who believes and is baptized shall receive $1 million. What would you have to do to receive the $1 million? He said, well, you have to be a believer, and you'd have to be a baptized believer to receive the $1 million. Well, I don't think you'll ever get $1 million because you do it. But your soul salvation is worth more than all the money there is in this world. Jesus Christ is the optional door. And I want to urge you to enter into that door of safety today. Don't hesitate and do not delay. Jesus said, come unto me. Do not hesitate. You see, our souls are so valuable. Jesus knew that when he went to the cross. And if you want to learn something about the value of your soul, turn over the 27th chapter of Matthew and read about Jesus dying upon that cross. That's how valuable your soul was. So valuable that the only begotten Son of God came to this world of sin and suffering and sorrow and died upon that cross that your soul might be saved. Your soul is valuable. Your soul is valuable because it's made in the image of God Almighty. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Your soul is valuable because God is the one who gave you that soul. Genesis chapter 2 and 7 says that God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You are a living soul. I've often said that we are a soul, we have a body that we live in. That might be more correct than saying that man has a soul. We are a soul, and you have a body to live in. And when the end of time comes, we'll have a resurrected body, a changed body, for our spirit, for our soul to dwell in for all eternity. Your soul is so valuable that the only begotten Son of God went to the cross of Calvary to save your soul. Have you ever thought about your soul? Have you ever really thought about it? Have you thought about where you will be 1,000 years from now, 10,000 years from now? One of the most beautiful songs is Amazing Grace. And there's a stanza in Amazing Grace that goes like this. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And so in 10,000 years from now, or 10,000 times 10,000 years from now, if you're in Jesus Christ, it will be glory for you. But where are you today? Your soul is valuable because Jesus died to save it. His parents were told to call his name Jesus in Matthew 1:21. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. He's concerned about you. And when you obey the gospel of Christ, and you have your sins forgiven, he adds you to his family, and it's called the church. It's called the body of Christ. It's called the kingdom of God. And so why don't you become a Christian today and give your life to him? It would be a tragedy indeed, if you lived, let's say, 60, 65, 70, 75 years or beyond, and you died and you lost your soul. The most valuable part of you is your soul. Jesus asked, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? We live in a time that is so secular. We live in a time that is so far away from God that people are no longer thinking about their souls. I want to urge you to think about your soul. We see people that die every day. There are people that the young people die, older people die, middle-aged people die, even babies die. You see, we're going to die one day. And if you die and there's sin in your life when you die, what about it then? Why not give your life to Jesus Christ now? Come as a believer in Jesus Christ, repenting of all your sins, confessing that you believe in Jesus, and be baptized into Christ, that your sins be washed away in his blood, and he'll add you to the church. You say, well, I don't know whether I want to do that or not. Well, that's a decision you can only make. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And in 1 Kings 18 and verse 21, the statement is made, how long halt you between two opinions? And so are you limping along the fence today? You can't make a choice. You can't make a decision. Make the decision. Say yes to Jesus today. Years ago, I was in a gospel meeting in a state not far away from here. And there was a man who had been attending every service, and I talked to him one night. And I said, why don't you say yes to Jesus tonight? But he finally said no. But later on, he said yes and became a Christian. But would you not say yes to him today? Give your life to him. If you'd like to be baptized, call us. And we'll arrange for somebody to get in touch with you to baptize you into Jesus Christ. That's how important it is for you, and that's how important we think it is for you to do it. Also, right now, let me give you a personal invitation to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And if you're not certain where it's located, why don't you call us? We'll get that information for you. Right now, pick up the telephone and call for the free Bible correspondence course. And I want to say again, this course is absolutely free. Now, you can take this course by mail. That is, you can get it sent to you, and you can take the course at home. And so many have done that. We have literally thousands of people that have done that. But there's another way you can do it, and you can take it online. And so let us know how you would like to take it. But whatever you do, don't hesitate to do that at all. I want to thank you for tuning in to watch Getting to Know Your Bible today. We appreciate those of you who might have been watching for the very first time. Tune in again at the same time next week for watching Getting to Know Your Bible. I want to thank you for watching today. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.
And promise, Lord, love combining till I shall.